Well, I am going to pass the service on to our brother Pete, who has a word for us.
Morning. Before everyone sneaks out the door, though, I just gotta have you, would like you to say happy birthday to my brother. Today's it.
It's your birthday.
Oh. Not my birthday, my brother. Boy, you're already falling asleep. My God, I'm only up here 2 seconds, Marshall. Give me a minute. Praise God. This morning has been so far incredible as far as I'm concerned. We've had a wonderful time in the Lord. I've been listening to what people have been saying for change. And, excuse me, did I say that out loud? No. Well, at least someone's listening to me. Good. A lot of it is confirming to some of the stuff I've been going through, and I know a lot of it's confirming to what a lot of people are still going through, and I also am walking in. How many of you know that when we walk in the mud, it may feel good on the feet at first, but that slopping and stickiness slows you down, and when you get out and you look down, it ain't so pretty. Amen. I'm not sure exactly where I want to begin with this. There was a few things that have come up. I'm going to try to find the scripture later on as I'm going through to confirm with where we're heading to. Like you had said about David's tabernacle, I found a thing in Corinthians that when I was going through to see what exactly how I was going to tie in with what's happening in my life to some scriptures, I came across something and I read it, and it's talking about our earthly habitation, how we look to get rid of it, and instantly, instead of looking at it like, you know, we read it, we say, yeah, okay, we're going to be getting a new home in heaven. You know, that enlightenment is gone. You know, that didn't even hit. It's talking about our bodies, man. You know, it's saying, you know, we're in here, but we look forward to shedding this and getting our heavenly, a heavenly home. And the heavenly home that they're talking about is walking in that. It's walking in the Spirit of God, not in the spirit of the flesh. That's a free plug-in. Okay. First of all, I'd just like to say, Lord, I'm going to put you in remembrance of your word here. You brought us together. We have some people that are not with us today. My wife, the pastor, a few people that usually come that have not been in a while. They're going through some hard times, some struggles here and there. Others are fighting sickness. Others are under attack. Gail's still not here. And I'm going to put you in remembrance of your word, Father, that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against us, we shall refute. And when the enemy comes in, comma, that's where it stops. Then, like a flood, you raise a standard against him.
Amen.
Most people think that the enemy comes in like a flood. Mm-mm. He can't. If he comes in like a flood, we'll see him coming. He's sneaky. Comes in behind, comes in the back door. Comes in looking like one of our favorite relatives, you know what I mean? Gives us those wonderful words of encouragement. Most of you know that have been here for a while know that I've been going through some interesting times these past two to three years. Road's been up, it's been down, it's been in, it's been out. And 2.5, almost 3 years ago, I was in a job where I was taking in $1,500 a week. That was my income. If I had a low paycheck, it was $600. Lord told me that I needed to quit that job. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to quit a job that I'm bringing in $1,500 a week. I'm on the verge of making a sale that's going to bring in almost a $5,000 bonus into my paycheck. He wants me to quit that job. So being the good Christian I am, I said, sure, open up the other door first. I am not going to be going home to my wife and saying, I'm quitting my job because God told me to. Because we had a relative in my family that did that. And I'm not going to go any further because basically that person went right down the drain pipe. So I was out doing my job, driving around, and now my job consists of mostly driving, believe it or not. Lord, the Spirit told me, yeah, I need you to quit your job. It's not a problem. Quit as soon as you open up the door to the next one. Third time, you need to quit the job. You need to get me the next one. I'll quit as soon as you get me the next job. That was it for 6 months. 6 months to the day, I was fired. Out the door, $1,500 a week, down to nothing. Absolutely no unemployment because I was semi-self-employed. Now, bills up the backside, obviously. Car payments, things of that nature. So I called Toyota. I said, hi, you want me to deliver it? Do you want to come get it? And they're like, well, why? I said, I lost my job. I can't afford $400 and some odd a month on the car when I have no income. Well, is there anything we can do to work with you? Well, sure. When I get another job, I'll start making payments again.
And I'm going for that.
You know, I didn't think they would either. I was kind of joking when I said it. And they said, no, we can't do that. I said, well, in all fairness, I'm going to let you know, this car that I bought with 114 miles on it in 06. Now, this is December of 2010. I said, this car has 315,000 miles on it right now. Yeah, she's going, wow. Now, you drive 250 or 350 miles a day, Monday through Friday, and figure out how fast it adds up. By the way, a little plug-in for Toyota. Those Corollas are awesome, man. They really are great. Last forever. You change the oil, change the tires out, change out brakes, oil, transmission, fluid. I did one tune-up on it. It never missed a beat. 30 miles to the gallon in town through that whole time. Basically, what happened is the Lord took me from where I was down to nothing. Literally, nothing. Then I'm sitting there and at home, and my wife says, what happened? Because I walked in, she said, what happened? I said, oh, I was fired. Well, that's all, huh? What are you going to do? I said, well, I have instructions from the Lord. And she goes, what's that? Sit down and wait. And my wife, being the wonderful Christian woman she is, says, I'll give you a month. Nice lady. Very patient. Extremely patient. But, like most people who are in a home, see things building up.
Scary.
Well, I was raised in a family, that man over there will tell you, that my grandfather had a philosophy. You can achieve all things in this world. You see that goal, there's a hill in front of you, you either go through it, over it, around it, or destroy it. But you go and you do it. You do it. You get it done. That's the same way Mary was raised. How many here were raised that way? You go for it. I know you weren't, Marshall. He's over there shaking his head no. And the rest of us are sitting here pretending that we weren't raised that way. Yeah, we all were. We all heard it from some wonderful relative. 13 months, I had job opportunities come my way, and I'd go and look at them, and I'd say, Lord, this one, here's the one I'm going to take. And the Lord said, no, you're not. I said, why not? I don't want you to have that job. It's not time to work yet. The bills are piling up. My wife is on the verge of divorce. You're telling me not to go get the job. That's right. So what happened is I ended up working in a company that pays me $8.25 an hour. No paid holidays, no vacation. You don't work, you don't get paid. Lady in the back, they thought we made $14 an hour. We don't. I got my raise, 21 cents. What a year. And by the way, it caps out at $10.05 an hour if anyone wants to know. And that's what I'm surviving on. Mary
fortunately works with the school system. And this is after a year. After a year, 13 months, I got that job. Lord said, take that one now. There's people you need to meet. Things you need to see.
And through the whole course of this thing, I am sitting back saying, Lord, what is it you want from me? I want you to read. I want you to listen. I want you to glorify me. Okay. Pretty cool. I've got nothing else to do for the next, you know, I'm home alone. What have I got to do? I put on the TV. I can watch Christian networking. I wash dishes. I clean up the house a little bit. Not enough according to my wife, but I did what I had to do. And I start hearing a little bit from the Lord here and there. He says, eventually you're going to end up reopening up the men's Bible study. And you're going to teach the men what I teach you. Oh, good. Just what I need to hear as I'm unemployed. You know, we're all giggling, but you know, I'm frustrated. I'm sitting at home. I'm looking at the house. Picture being in here 7 days a week. I don't have a car. Anything I have to do now, I have to do by foot. I say to my wife, I need to go here. And she goes, huh, you got a job? You have a vehicle? You have to understand, it's not a dig. It's her flesh. She's walking in the flesh. At that point, she is just as frustrated. And she's not doing it to maliciously attack. She's doing it to wake me up, to get me out here, to get something. She's trying to help. She wasn't. Not for me. This carries on and carries on. And I get this job, now I have to sponge rides to and from work. But I notice nothing happening in my life. Nothing. How many of you know that when you see things going on in your life, you don't really see what's going on in your life? Someone says, boy, you've changed. And you're like, yeah, I get you, I change. You walk away from them. But let's go to Matthew 6, verse 31 through 34. I'm using the NIV because that's the one I picked up out of the bag. I didn't grab the other Bible. I'm going to try to enlighten. There's two mountains that we walk on in this world. First one is Mount Sinai. Bob already had a version of this. He gets to have the refresher course. Sinai is the law. Moses went there, received the Ten Commandments. We all saw the movie or read the book, right? I say read the book, some of us did, some of us just watched Cecil B. DeMille's version. But the point is that according to the Bible, he was up there, received the Ten Commandments, he came down off that mountain, and what was going on? Israel was in rebellion. Israel was having a party. They're having a great time. The end of it was, is that on Sinai, when he came down with the Ten Commandments, he sat there, and he said, this is it. You either follow the Lord or you don't. The bottom line is that day, 3,000 people were killed to satisfy the law. To satisfy the law. 3,000 people died, trust me.
No, Matthew?
That'll get to it again. I'll see you.
No,
I'll say
what is the number?
6, 31 through 34. We're not at that point yet. I'm giving you a little bit of background. The other mountain, Mount Zion. That is the mountain of the Spirit. Now, there was a gentleman that I listened to on TV now and again. I caught him one time, which was really fantastic. When he was in Israel, he was talking with a rabbi. And the rabbi said that X amount of thousands of years to the day, what the Christians call the day of Pentecost, was the day that Moses came off the mountain. The exact same day. And the best they can figure to what we call when the Holy Ghost fell. What happened when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room and Peter preached? 3,000 got saved. house and get saved. That's just the difference of what we have. When you go by the letter of the law, it brings death to you, because it shows you nothing but what you cannot achieve. But the Spirit, everything is open to you. If you walk in the Spirit in accordance to what God has. Matthew 6, verses 31 through 34. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Don't you think I haven't had that one? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what that you need them. Okay, stop right there. God knows all. I'm out of a job. My wife is saying, where are we going to get money for oil? Where are we going to get money for food? Where are we going to get money? What are you going to do about it? You know what I told her? I'm going to do nothing. You think she thanked me?
No.
I said, I am doing nothing about it. I am trusting God for what he has for me, and I'm waiting for his instruction. I am not going to move without his instruction. I refuse to move this time without his instruction, because, pardon my French, I'll be damned if I'm going to go through this again.
Amen.
You know, and she looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, if I go out and outside of his will, I'm going to come right back to the same mountain again. And I said, I'm tired of it. This is the third time since we've been out of the military, I've been out of a job. And I said, and I don't know why, but he's got something. He's trying to teach us something. And I'm either going to learn it with you or without you. The choice is yours. But don't ever ask me again what I'm going to do, because I'm going to tell you the same. That went over real well. It started an argument. Not that she does not believe. But she sees in me a lot of times a quote-unquote family history. You would have had to know our mother and things that went on in our family to understand what she's battling. My mother was on welfare all the time Mary knew her. My mother would have a job placed before her, but because she would make $10 less a week, she would not take the job, so she wouldn't lose her welfare benefit. Instead of trying to progress, she stayed put. She thought that the welfare system was the transference of wealth from the pagans over to the Christians. Anything that keeps you in poverty is not a blessing. It's a curse. It's bondage. And that's what she was desperately wondering. Why are you acting this way? And I tried to wake her up saying, do you see me taking any allotments from the state? Do you see me on food stamps? Do you see me taking anything from the state? God, no. If God doesn't provide it, I didn't want it. The next verse is the key. And this is where I'm trying to bring us to. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. No kidding. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Where do you get a picture of his kingdom? Any ideas? Amen. Right there. You're holding it up. Joel Osteen has you hold it up all the time. The word. Listen to anointed preaching. Listen to some anointed singing. Listen, read that word. Do I say make a religion of it? No. Do as the Spirit guides you to do. The Spirit could have you sit. I don't know why. Don't get me wrong here, because the one book I've never been able to finish is Job. Man, you want to hear me snore? Give me that book. Other people think it's a wonderful blessing to read. And I'm out. You know, it's just not there for me. You know, but you could have me in Job for the next 10 years. But every time you open it up, something new comes out of it. something new. Because of life. What?
Job is a hard book to digest because it's got too much meat.
No. The book bores me. Because I'm tired of the poor guy getting beat up for X amount of chat. Because I'm sitting there saying, what are you doing? Sparing me or something? You know? That's the one book I just couldn't get into. I know there's a lot of meat. There's a lot of stuff in there. There is. But show me something in here where there isn't. So, as we're progressing through, you get led by that Spirit. His righteousness. Where's his righteousness? Where do you get it? Who? Jesus. My God. This is going to be as tough as I thought. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, I have down here that Pastor Kim had brought this to us in 9 September of 08 and 11 September of 2011. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh. So what are you doing? Seeking yourself, O righteous ones of God? Right there in the word. It says that you're the righteousness of God.
I can't find it. What are you on, Pete?
2 Corinthians.
Five. No.
Five.
Lost.
Yep, 5:21. That's it. So you got me lost, Olivia. You got me all messed up.
We all thought Marshall was going to see.
Marshall's doing fine. Everyone's doing fine. How you doing, DJ? Good? Excellent. So, now I have to seek his kingdom. I have to seek his righteousness. And all these things will be added on to me. So basically, what's it saying? Just look to me, sit there, be quiet, listen, and I will provide. Yeah, that's the key word, shut up.
That's the hard part.
How many times do we open up our mouth and negate our own blessings? I am believing God that my headache will be gone. Where's my aspirin? Once I get the aspirin, it'll be gone. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with taking aspirin.
Right.
Yeah. What I am saying is that when you're believing God for something,
don't
negate it by saying the man product will take care of it. You are sick. You take the medication doctor prescribed for you because that may save your life until the Lord intervenes.
Yeah.
Period. Don't ever, ever stop doing what the doctor asks you to do until the Lord tells you to stop doing it because if you don't, oh boy. I spent the last 2